And welcome to the latest edition of the Monty's Man podcast. This is our episode 4, where today we're going to talk about the just finished Bilbao match. We'll touch on the Champions League midweek feature there with Rennes. And then we got a special guest, one of the Monty's Men regulars and longtime contributors, Shin Molici, is going to be with us. Shin is cool. He's from Kosovo. He's been a longtime Monty's Men contributor, and we're glad to have you on the program here, Shin.
Hello, guys. Yeah, I'm glad to be here too, and thank you for inviting me. It is the first time doing a podcast, so. Yeah, I hope we're going to have fun discussing some of this stuff here.
Well, we're definitely going to try to make it a little more entertaining in the second half of the Sevilla Athletic match here.
Definitely, yeah.
So we're recording this roughly about 30 minutes here outside of the match. Sevilla drops their third straight in La Liga, and we've only won 2 matches out of 6 this season. And we're only 2 points above the regulation zone. So not a good start for Sevilla here in the league, guys. What did you think about the match?
You want to start, Shin?
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, the match started quite well for us. We were all over the pace. I mean, the players were quite, you know, motivated to score, I think, you know, overall. Mm-hmm. And it was the same attacking mentality that we had against Rennes in the Champions League. But then after we scored the goal, after that all out attack and domination, I think we took the foot off the pedal, and that is what is happening, I think, almost every game with us. And that is, of course, costing us in the end. And by the second half, it was of course a totally uninspired performance. And I was watching it with my father, who is a Barcelona fan, by the way. And he said, I think they want to lose themselves. You know, the game itself gave the impression that we are not there to keep the 3 points. So it was very, very obvious. And then, of course, Lopetegui's changes contributed to that as well. I think those changes were unnecessary at the end, you know, with Oliver Torres and especially Muro. I think Muro, I don't know, he doesn't contribute much to the matches, and just... Is there just for, you know, for showing up? I don't know, but I mean, yeah, it was a mess that we were supposed to win. I mean, Bilbao is, I mean, we are much better than Bilbao in overall on paper, and we showed that on the pitch. But then the second half was a different story.
Absolutely. We started off really well. There's so much space, and we're exploiting it. You know, our go-to, just get it to the wings and cross it to, we have giants up there, up top, and we scored early for once, right? We don't normally do that. We normally wait for the second half to, you know, readjust and then start playing well, but we started really, really well. So overall, a great performance in that first half. It got a little bit disruptive. You know, Raul Garcia did his thing. Of, you know, upsetting certain players, upsetting the coach, really kind of got him into it. But that's what he's supposed to do. That's what he does. So I understand that. I respect it. It's gamesmanship. But overall, the first half was great in terms of distribution, the pace, controlled the game, really set the tempo. And then second half, we actually started decent in that first 5 to 10 minutes. But when Athletic made their changes, they just changed the game from there, and we just started going further back, just letting them send mad crosses into the box, and that undid us. It was bare crosses. It's just, I don't know, when I see Athletic play, they just remind me of Sunderland because of their kit, but it's like, okay, it's just desperation time. Let's just cross the ball and hope for the best. But I applaud them for fighting back because that's what you're supposed to do. But there was like no fight in Sevilla at all. There was nothing to spark attacks to regain control. Even the changes we made didn't really contribute to much. Olivier, you know, passed the ball around a little bit at some point, but a minute later, it just went back to what was going on. Athletic bombarding us with crosses. They got the goal. Both goals coming at the far post too. Us switching off, that doesn't normally happen. We usually win everything or most balls in the air. I don't know what happened there. I can't really excuse them for losing focus like that or being fatigued. Maybe it was fatigue, but like, come on, man. If you're a top team like this, you shouldn't have to rely on excuses like fatigue or it's a tough schedule and all that. We're in the Champions League for a reason, and every game is going to be tough, whether it's in the Champions League or La Liga. So them switching off like that, I don't know, it's overall bad performance to close it out.
Yeah, it seems to me that falls on Lopetegui a lot, the tiredness excuse. I mean, not a lot of subs, or you know, not a lot of changes, I guess, in the team, especially I thought Acuna really fell off at the second half, and he was the one I think that got beat on that second goal, not getting back and covering the far post. I mean, Muto was kind of there, but he had another man to mark, and the tiredness is, you know, the commentator here in the U.S. was talking about the midfield of Rakitic and Jordan, you know, being really slow and looking tired. And I think that's what Lopetegui saw when he made that substitution, the double change where he brought on Gadel and Torres at the same time. But when he did that, he just totally changed our focus of the game. And I think that kind of set us up for failure. Yeah, I blame a lot of this on Lopetegui. Yeah, good shout out, Eddie, on Garcia. You know, Sevilla came out and was firing on all cylinders, and then you saw Garcia doing his thing. You know, slowing the game down, fouling, getting into the mind of the players and the coach. There's a little interesting incident there on the sideline with Lopetegui, where I didn't see what initially happened with him and Garcia, but
I think it was a verbal exchange. And the ref tried to calm it down. He brought both parties together, and Raul Garcia gave him kind of a big boy handshake.
It reminded me of Trump's handshake. How Trump like tries to like shake hands and like muscle the other guy. Like, I didn't mean to bring that.
And that's where the game was lost. I feel maybe he got into the mind of Lopetegui then and disrupted his whole plans. I don't know. Maybe in fact, I don't know, man. He probably got into his head. I don't know. I can't really. I'm semi-joking there, but it's kind of crazy how we just lost control like that.
Yeah, totally different halves. I mean, Sevilla did dominate. I was shocked at the space that Bilbao left us to score. Really, we should have scored several goals in that first half, and we messed up. Yen also had an opportunity for, well, the first goal came on from Yen. I think that was in the ninth minute, if I'm not mistaken, really early in the game. And then he had another opportunity sometime in the game. I can't remember exactly when that happened, where Martinez for them cleared it off the line.
In the second half.
Yeah, it was second half early, right?
Early in the second half, yeah.
I don't know how he saved that off the line. That was spectacular defending there, but should have been a goal. Got unlucky. I don't know what else to say about the game, guys. I mean, just it was boring. I thought the game was super boring, and just the team wasn't inspired. I mean, I don't know. That's all I've got. We started, just to kind of give a little recap, starting lineup was Bono, Navas, Koundé, Diego Carlos, Acuña, which is our, you know, go-to back line now. Fernando, Rakitic, Jordan in the middle, Campos, De Jong, and then in Nisri. I'm just going to start calling him Yen because I totally struggled saying his name for whatever reason. Anyway, that was starting lineup. you know, Lopetegui waited a long time to make those last two substitutions. They didn't come on until, I think, the 84th minute in the game. They brought on Munir and Carlos Fernandez. It was just too late. I mean, there was nothing for Sevilla to do. They couldn't get any possession. Tried to play out of the back. That didn't work. Just no link up whatsoever. So credit to Bilbao. I mean, they made the changes necessary to change the game, and they took some points. It's pretty concerning, guys. Three straight losses. That's in the league. That's really concerning.
Yeah, I only noticed that at the end that it was three straight. I was like, oh, wow, I forgot it was three straight. The Ren result kind of distracted us a little bit. But Shen, do you think it was a personnel issue, or just mentality-wise, the players just weren't there?
Yes, I think it was our approach, our general approach in these games, especially in the La Liga games, is, you know, go all guns blazing at first, score a goal, or just keep the opposition off our half by attacking. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then just hope for the best, because our second halves are usually very, very dull in overall. But this is, I mean, this kind of strategy can always backfire, because you have to make sure to score like two or three goals and then make sure not to concede in the second half. It's quite risky, quite experimental. And there is no consistency in some of the players, I think. Some positives from these two games, especially in the game versus Iran, is Acuña. He's making more runs now in the attack and doing overall well in the defense, and especially with that you know, that cross to De Jong was beautiful in the goal that we scored against Iran. But then today, as you mentioned, Eddie, I mean, the second goal was definitely on him for not marking well. Mm-hmm. So it's still, you know, a bit of inconsistency, and this is not only of him, but also a lot of players. For example, Ocampos tonight, you know, he passed. I mean, he did the assist to Enesiri, and he played averagely, to be honest, because when he's not passing the ball, he's doing something. He's complicating the game, you know, wasting chances. And now when he's not passing, I mean, when he's finally passing the ball, it's, you know, he's still. I mean, I think it's a mentality issue in overall. And because if it was a skill issue, we wouldn't have performed how we did against Bayern. For the UEFA Super Cup, or against Chelsea, you know, top teams, or against Barcelona, we held on a draw, 1-1 in Camp Nou. So in overall, it's not a skill issue; it's more a mentality issue, and maybe we still lack the necessary depth to do important stuff this season. I mean, for example, We play very well in Champions League, but then the next game is in 3 or 4 days, and then we cannot have the same players play all the time and in a consistent level because of that. And then when we try to rest them, then the second team maybe, you know, is a bit maybe in another system that they would do better, but in the 4-3-3, it is a very demanding system in which if all the players are not up to a certain level, it's very hard to maintain. Mm-hmm. And even with lesser teams, you know. I mean, this is a system that Barcelona played in the 2000, in their historic season. And they had even their subs were quite good, you know. For example, Pedro, and they have some quality subs there. And we lack that in overall. So it's a mentality thing. Lack of depth, a mix, inconsistency, some, you know, it's a mix of that. But the potential is there, but who knows, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned, the 4-3-3, it's the elite teams that played at, I think Bayern kind of backed away from that, but you see PSG, you see Man City, Liverpool. It's the top teams that play like that. And yes, it is a demanding system to play, and you have to have the right players to make it work. I guess Lopetegui did well setting that up all of last season, so I thought those same habits would help us throughout this season, having already made that a foundation. But you look at that second half, and it's like these guys didn't learn anything. The 100% focus, because, I mean, even these guys, even on throw-ins, these guys are focused, and they usually win the ball back off just throw-ins. So in, like, little instances, they're always on their game. It's just today was, I don't know, perhaps it's fatigue, but the big players have to step up. That's why I'm not really concerned with Navas playing all these games, because he's our most important player, and he's making an example out of that. It's like with not to compare him to Messi, but is Messi ever going to take a game off? He doesn't. He doesn't like to be subbed off either. So Navas, he has that same mentality. In order for my team to win, I'm going to be there every single minute. Yes. I'm not sure if it's a lack of a vocal leader on the pitch as well, because in moments in that second half, someone could have, you know, grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck, if you want to say that, to get our team back into the game and to refocus. But that didn't happen, and it just, the control just dwindled away.
Mm-hmm. And to connect with what you said about, I mean, Navas is to compare him with Messi, is that Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, for example, these type of players, they play all the time, but they don't run, you know, they don't give it their all the time, and sometimes you have the impression that Navas does that all the time. You know, he just fights, runs, and, you know, I mean, it's not easy to do that. And Navas is an exception, but even him, I mean, he could end up, you know, injured for a considerable amount of time. I mean, hopefully not, but it can happen in football. And then what, you know? And then we have to play Alex Vidal, you know, or to improvise something. But, you know, it's quite risky. I mean, we are on, as I say, on thin ice, I would say. Mm-hmm. But and Chris, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I was just, you guys kind of hit on it there. We all kind of had a collective, you know, kind of collectively held our breath today with Navas. Early in the match, he went down twice with injury scares. And you guys are right. I mean, he is a Messi-like player for Sevilla in importance. And then, Chin, you hit it right on the head. Like, he doesn't stop. You know, Messi, you'll see him, you know, slacking off and not coming back in defense, but it's not like that with Navas. Navas is constantly running, constantly coming back in defense. So his demands on his body is a lot greater than I think Messi and Ronaldo has. So, huge risk to keep playing him as many matches in a row. Played a lot of matches last year. He's got international duty as well, so not a lot of time for him to recover. So hopefully he stays healthy. I don't want to imagine a Sevilla without him right now, to be honest. So let's see where it goes. So not a great performance today. Really disappointed. We had that match in our hands and just kind of let it go. So
And I just wanted to add something, because, you know, we always have people active in the forums as well. So just to highlight some of the things our other members have said. You know, Asuri Sevilla, Jim over there said fell asleep twice at the back post, and Lope playing for the 1-0 with 20 minutes still to play. Like I said, that was very uncharacteristic, like bringing on Mudo and bringing on Gudelli very early. It's like you're setting up shop already. Brian mentioned that as well,
Mudo came on in the 63rd minute. Definitely the most minutes he's played in a while. And you know, we talked about this last episode where Lopetegui seems to want to bring him on, you know, in that last 10 minutes to kind of kill the game off. But he brought him on very early, Was he trying to kill the game off early this time? I'm assuming so, just with the sub pattern. And you just can't do that in La Liga, especially against the quality that the Bilbao has. I mean, they still have quality players, even though they have struggled this year in the La Liga.
I could understand if you make a change, but it didn't change anything.
Yeah.
So from seeing those substitutions, you could say, okay, he's playing it safe, conservative. Yeah. I guess that's in his DNA, being conservative. So I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something also for Rakitic, because I haven't commented on that even on the forums. I mean, we all know that he is still, I mean, and we are not sure if he will ever replace Banega. Because he was signed to replace him and Oscar for, you know, to get minutes together. And it's quite weird. I mean, speaking of Oscar, it's quite weird that he's not getting any minutes. It's, you know, it's like he's forgotten there on the bench, and Mudo is getting more minutes than him. It doesn't make sense sometimes. But on Rakitic, I still haven't seen him, you know, give his best, you know, perform to his best, to his full potential on the pitch. You know, he doesn't fight, he doesn't tackle anything. I mean, he's not known for that, but he lacks the spirit, I think, the fighting spirit. He just you know, shows up, and that is enough for him. I mean, in his thought, maybe. And maybe, you know, by coming back to Sevilla, he said, you know, like, he has family here. He took a pay cut, so he has an alibi to say that you cannot criticize him because he took a pay cut. He's doing us a favor, you know, kind of like. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the mentality, because I'm from Balkans as well. You know, he's from Croatia, so we. The mentality kicks in, yeah, in a way or another. So yeah, he said now, because he also retired from the national team, so he settled here, and you know, just I think we need to see more of him. I mean, as I said, not sure if he will ever replace Banega to the fullest, because they're different players, and to be very honest, I still think Banega performed, you know, much better for us, especially in this system. But you know, it's not enough from him. We need to see more from him, and also I think Oscar. We need to see more from Oscar. It was a 20 million signing, if I'm not mistaken, 15 or 20 million, and to have him on the bench. I mean, we were about to sell Mudo, and now we're giving Mudo like 30 minutes or so. And Oscar, we're not giving him any minutes, so it's just not. Something is quite. I don't know.
Yeah, I think this team is okay. Ready for the international break. I mean, we got, you know, two more matches. We got the Champions League match against Krasnodar, and then the another La Liga match against Osasuna, and then we're, you know, we've got the next international break. And I think this team needs to. I think they need to kind of regroup. Hopefully some of our players aren't out on international duty, and we can actually work as a team and kind of work to fix some of the issues that we have right now. So let's hope that that works. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about something a little more positive, and that was the midweek Champions League match with Rennes, where Sevilla did win, you know, 1-0. And sets us up pretty nicely in the group. We now have 4 points tied with Chelsea at the top of the group. And then we've got Krasnodar on Wednesday coming into the RSCP. What the hell am I talking about? Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan. Let's do that. Dominant performance by Sevilla midweek. I mean, it's so weird to see us like dominate that match and then play like we did today. It's kind of unbelievable. Just a shout out before we start talking.
La Liga is the best league in the world.
That's
yeah. There you go. There you go. What is it? What's the commercial? It's It's not football, it's La Liga. Whatever that is about, yeah. I don't understand.
More than football, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sevilla, 23 total shots on goal in that match, and 10 on target. Only one found the back of the net, which was super disappointing. We had 11 corners in that match, and Rennes had zero. I thought that stat was kind of surprising, just the pure difference there. But anyway, what did you guys think? Some crazy moments there in the first half. I think the first 20 minutes is probably the best we've played all season.
Yeah, it was some impeccable passing. I don't know if you guys noticed, but like Koundé, I didn't really see much of passes like that from Koundé last season. It seems like he's a bit more daring with his passes now. A lot of them, we kept feeding Acuña on that left side, and he was putting in some good passes. Ocampo had a really nice chance with a point-blank save from the keeper. But the goal came from his side. But Koundé, I mean, it was like I haven't seen our center backs pass like that since Pareja was here. So that was really nice to watch. And what a difference Koundé made.
First game out of COVID. I mean, he had one training session prior to this match out of his COVID quarantine. Comes in and plays like he hadn't missed anything. I mean, it was unbelievable performance.
Impressive.
He couldn't wait to play. he didn't have any symptoms, right? So he was he felt fine. It's just that you can't be with your team. But we had so many close calls. We hit the crossbar twice, save off the line. It's kind of point blank. He also had a shot, like a rocket of a shot that the goalkeeper had to save. But we came close. So, but it was still, you think, Sevilla not scoring chances, it might be a problem, but it was more positive considering what happened the previous weekend. Sean, what did you think of the Champions League game?
With Rennes, we definitely played as Chris said, maybe especially in the first half. It was a performance of the season, and statistics wise. The result, of course, was not real because we had like 20 shots on goal, 20 shots in overall, 10 on goal. And we should have at least scored at least another two goals. And Rennes really didn't stand a chance in overall in that game. So at the end of the day, 3 points is 3 points. You know, 1-0 or 5-0 is the same. And I don't think we will battle for Rennes for the second or first place, but it will be against Chelsea. So we will have to focus, I mean, on head-to-head results. We have to focus against Chelsea. And with now winning against Krasnodar next Wednesday, I think we will be with one foot on the next round, something like that. And against Rennes, of course, the man of the match for me was Acuña. He was, you know, all over that right flank. It also provided a beautiful cross to De Jong for the goal, and you know he was just very impressive. All the team played well, but he was a man of the match for me, definitely. So
definitely man of the match, and I mean that delivery to De Jong, I mean just perfect, and it wasn't like it was
perfect.
Yeah, I mean it was perfect. De Jong didn't have to do anything. He just foot to the ball, and bam, it was in, and just gorgeous, I mean, perfect goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the Munir volley, he's good with those volleys, and you said he almost broke the crossbar.
Yeah.
But I was like, 5 minutes in. I was like, whoa, we're starting like this today. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I was liking what we saw there.
Yeah, and that was previous to that strike, Novice's little strike that he had. And I think that was often Novice's left foot, if I'm not mistaken, which surprised me because, I mean, it was a shot. And the keeper made a really good save on just prior to that Munir strike. So, they came out ready to play, dominated the first half. Just that first 20 minutes was just – they were bombarded. I was shocked that they didn't score more goals.
But you could definitely see that they're missing their big players in the midfield. They weren't able to get out from their half and to control the game because we were just capitalizing on their mistakes. a lot of our chances were coming off their mistakes as well. So no Zonzi and no Kamavinga, and that made a big difference. And they were disappointed a bit. I don't know. At the end, there's a little bit spats going on there towards the end, because they're a good team. So they knew they were in, like, they weren't a team that was, you know, because they're in the French league and all that, that they're not that strong of a team. But Rennes is a competitive team. Like, I don't think this this is like a small fry. Like, hopefully we get all our business done before match day 6, because the game over there is going to be extremely tough. Because this Rennes team doesn't play. They're a very serious competitor. They were tied for first place in Ligue 1. Mm-hmm. Whatever you guys think about Ligue 1, I find it a competitive league, but, well.
Yeah, I think we'll see this week. We'll see this week when they go against Chelsea to see, you know, what they really look like. I think that's going to help solidify if we're a real threat or not. So joining us today, we've got the awesome guy from Monty's Men, Shin Bolici from Kosovo, joining us. Shin's been around for a long time, way back in our WordPress days, and just a great contributor to the cast and to the forum. And we're super happy to have you on the cast here with us. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm very delighted to be here. You know, and as I said also in the forum, you guys are doing the podcast every week, but I would maybe, you know, jump in every once a month or so, you know, just to recap things. And, you know, it's quite nice to have discussion with you even on this platform. Because we discuss all the time in the forums, and there are a lot of active members in the forums, which is good, and we're having good debates and everything. Everyone is making their opinions heard. So I mean the concept of the forum is great. I'm 28 years old and live in Pristina in Kosovo, the capital of Kosovo. I work in IT in governmental institution. So football is my biggest passion, and I've played it semi professionally, especially the smaller versions of football on university level. And I've participated in different, you know, university tournaments across Europe. And I've been maybe watching football actively maybe since the 98 World Cup. That's when it, you know, it got into my heart, and I didn't, you know, stop since then. And it was mostly because of my father, who was also a passionate football fan, and he, you know, he instilled that to me in a way. And yeah, so this is more or less. And I've joined Monty's Men, I think, in it was 2010 or 2011. I can remember. I think 2011 it was my, yeah. And then I was very excited to find an English-speaking forum where we could discuss. And back then, I think we were like only like three or four or something like that, very, very few people there. But it was still good, you know, to discuss after the matches and everything.
Yeah, and just to find out, being from Kosovo,
yeah.
How did you choose Sevilla, or how did Sevilla choose you? To
yeah. in Kosovo, in the 2000s, in the early 2000s, we had a television here televising the games of La Liga. And they were mostly televising the main games, like the Barcelona games and Real Madrid games, because the other TVs, especially even the national TV, was televising the Premier League games, the Premier League of England. Mm. And that other television, we usually watched that for football, and it televised the La Liga games. And my father was a Barcelona fan since the 90s. So then, but I don't know. I mean, I've watched Real Madrid and Barcelona like all the time, but there was some of the games that they also transmitted, especially for the cup games. And there was like Sevilla, this exciting team, you know, this, and of course the first triumph in the Europa League in 2006 also did it. And it was just because when I explained to people how I fell in love with Sevilla, it was the exotic play that the team did, you know, with players like Alves, Canute, Fabiano, Maresca, and everyone there. You know, it was just very, very exciting to see them because they played like an old school Brazilian team, you know, and only in Europe. And then they were very attacking focused. That's what I always liked. And you know, they were very, very passionate. They fought very hard for everything. You know, the team just oozed passion, and that was very contagious maybe, and that is one of the main reasons that I fell in love, and then the love of course grew over the years. We had good years, bad years, but yeah, I mean, I will always remain an avid Sevilla fan, a Sevillista, just like you guys. So yeah, this is more or less the story. Hasta la muerte, yeah. This is more or less the story, and I never liked the idea of being a fan of a top team because it was a bit boring for me, you know, to like, for example, being a fan of Real Madrid, Barcelona, always winning, you know. So I wanted to be kind of look like the underdog. But yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. we had, over these years, we have witnessed a lot of success, a lot of joy, and of course, bad days and good days, but I'm very proud to be a Sevillista, just like you guys. So, yeah.
You wear the badge very well, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, your passion and love and how that started. You know, what's your favorite Sevilla memory over the years?
Sevilla member in the forums?
Memory.
Memory. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. Sevilla memory. I think, of course, beside the UEFA Cups that we won back then, end to end on 2006 and 2007, and the triple win with Emery and all the successes, the cup in 2010 and everything. I think there was a moment when I can remember the exact date. I think it was 2009, maybe. I don't know exactly. It was a cup match in early January against Valencia, and we had players like, I think it was also Dusher, Aldo Dusher, the midfielder. I remember, yeah. And he scored the winning goal. I think it was a 2-1 win, and we went through in one of the last minutes. I think, yeah, 90 something. But I got a very bad cold back then. And after that victory, you know, I celebrated a lot, you know, in the house. And it was, I think I got better. The next day was like, the cold wasn't there, you know. And I was associated with, you know, happiness, you know, with feeling happiness and joy and optimism and everything. Like, I mean, I associated that because at that time we were quite the underdogs. Every win was a celebration in itself, you know. So that is one of the nicest memories, of course, beside the trophies and everything. And of course, we cannot forget the last minute goals, the Paulo goal, the Mbia's goal, and you know, yeah. those are yeah. I mean, it was crazy, and also the goal, Rodri's goal in the 1994th against Mallorca that took us to the Champions League. That was
yes,
phenomenal. I mean, we have a lot to remember as Sevillistas. So yeah, it's amazing.
Who knew Aldo Dusser could cure illnesses?
Yeah, that's, man, Aldo Dusser, you know.
That's That's
out of nowhere. Yeah. Like Aladusha, and I think that there was also that the guy Brian Rabello, I think back then. Yeah, I'm not exactly.
Oh yeah, the Chilean.
Yeah, but I don't know if they were at the same time. I can't remember exactly, but I know I have like a good memory of that of the result and everything. So yeah,
I don't know if you'll give Aldo Dusha as your answer to this one, but your all time favorite Sevilla player?
Aldo Dusha. Yeah, Dusha was. He did well. I mean, well for that time in midfield. Mm-hmm. But my favorite. I don't know if I can depict only one player, but if I can choose only one, and if I could, give some importance to one player, is maybe Canute. Canute for his, of course, skills. The fight and everything, and for his professionalism, for his, and also not only inside the pitch but outside the pitch as well. He was just an amazing human being and overall. And we as football fans, because a lot of players that we are fans of, we don't have to take them as role models off the pitch. Because it's their life. As long as they play good and perform well for the team, that's what counts. But because it's personal at the end of the day. But Canute was an example, with all the charity work that he did and everything. And also, he was just an immense player. And of course, then after him, Dani Alves, the guy never stopped. It reminds me of Navas, of the modern Navas. So it was great. There are of course a lot of other players, and even Puerta. We haven't seen much of Puerta because of his full potential. Maybe he was just getting out of the form, and unfortunately, sadly, he passed away in that match against Getafe. But yeah, there are a lot of, and you guys, do you have any favorites, on all-time favorites of Sevilla? You and Chris, Eddie.
All-time favorite. I don't know if I decided yet, man.
Okay.
I think it changes depending on my mood.
Yeah.
So far, Canute is two for two, and the people that we've asked so far. So
yeah,
I'll answer first. Okay. It's Canute for me too.
Canute, yeah.
He was my first Sevilla jersey.
Just
he was so impressive how slick he was on the ball. He was a striker but played like a midfielder, I thought. So smooth and intelligent, and Shin, you brought up his charity work, and he continues to do that off as an ex-footballer. And just a brilliant guy, and for me, it's him. Modern day Navas. Navas is a legend, and I think all of my Navas jerseys say Navas. So
Navas maybe,
That's
I
for
think
me.
I think mine is Jesus Navas. The peculiar thing of his homesickness.
Mm-hmm.
He so loved the city that he couldn't leave. Right.
Yeah.
The homesickness was just, it was a mental thing, but it was kind of poetic as well. And to see him come back and to wear the armband and the way he's playing right now is just, it's poetry in motion.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you ask Eddie, when you ask the all time, favorite, I forgot the current players. I was thinking of a player that is, no longer playing or no longer in the team. But
true.
Navas is also a big legend. And even Reyes, and we cannot forget the legends. But I think, Canute.
Wow.
Canute, for me, Canute was, immense. And the way he took penalties then, man, it was so unpredictable.
So much poise in those penalties. I don't know. I don't see people try to do some tricks.
It's a trend nowadays.
Like, it was just poise from him.
Yeah, definitely. Canudo was original in his way of executing them. You know, because it was like a step, like a false step, but not jumping or the thing that Bruno Fernandes does. Right. You know, Jorginho, and he took it because he had a long, very long stride. You know, as a tall player, he was, and and beside of that, and in the later years of his career, he also played in the midfield, provided, you know, others with balls and everything, and even he even did some assists as well. So, and he worked very well with Navas.
Yeah,
the only good crosses that Navas made was in for Canute, I think. So because Navas' crosses are much better now. His crosses were quite, you know, not to say bad, but not as good as maybe today. So, yeah.
Except for the first half today, they were not finding their targets today. Navas had a bad half today. But
yeah.
Shin, you know, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for all your contributions to the forum.
Thank you.
You know, it's guys like you that's really helped us grow Monty's Men. And look forward to having you on again in the future. And thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here.
So next up for Sevilla, we got the Champions League match on Wednesday against Krasnodar at 3 p.m. Eastern time here in the U.S. That's 8 p.m. local time in Sevilla. The next La Liga match is at home against Osasuna. That's at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, which I think is, 7:30 p.m.?
Something like that.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, we're talking about this early on, guys, but that's a must win, I think, against Osasuna. I mean, that takes us into the international break, and I think we have to win that game. We have to right the ship in that game.
I think it's whatever happens, because from losing the third straight game today, I have to kind of reassess the season now. Like, okay, maybe we're not title contenders anymore. Three straight losses already, like this early. Three straight losses. Okay, maybe we just have to try to keep it stable and just qualify for the Champions League again, and maybe focus in Europe. Maybe make a semifinal and just consolidate the Champions League for next season. Through finishing fourth. I don't know. Who knows if these other teams are going to slip up as well? But losing three games already is like, wow, okay, you got some work to do, man. I don't know what you got to do in training, but yo, some of these players, you got to shout at them or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Eddie, to support you on that. I think with three losses already, we can definitely most likely write off the season is still long and everything, but we will lose another few definitely along the way, and we can write off maybe being a La Liga contender, but as long as we finish like the usual top four, it will be good, and if we have a good run in Champions League and the cup, then it'll be okay. But the thing is, because even in their historic season with Atletico Madrid in 2013-14, they have had like four losses in total, and even with Barca and Real Madrid struggling, so I think it's too much to have them so early in the season to have like three losses. And especially we haven't had the losses against the big teams. We still have to face Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid twice, Barcelona again, you know, and so, yeah. But as long as we have a good run, maybe in Champions League and in the cup and top four finish, I think it'll be good in overall, because this team, it gives you the impression that this team is made for short-term tournaments, like we see in the Europa League mini tournament.
Right.
I mean, because the moment that we have to rotate and rest players and everything, then it falls off. Everything falls off. Yeah. But if we keep the same players, which is of course not possible in a long competition like the league, if we keep the same players, we can do something. And Champions League, I don't know. I mean, it's, we show that we can face big teams like Bayern, and we can really compete with them toe to toe, as I say. But let's see what happens. The Krasnodar game is a must win, as Chris said, and then we can only look forward from that.
Yep.
Hey guys, until next time, thanks everyone for listening. It's been fun watching the numbers climb every week. Cool. And thanks again for Shen joining us.
Thank you.
Until next week, vamos mi Sevilla.
Vamos, campeón.
Vamos, yeah.